This is Dodging Death with Stephen Williams Jr. and Ryan Patton.
And Paul.
There's been lots. I'm ignoring it now, Ryan. There's been lots of very low moments in lockdown. But one of the lowest happened to me yesterday because I bought a, you know, one of those foot stones where you like you rub against the bottom of your foot to scrape away the hard skin.
I feel like you don't really need to expand on this anymore. Now that's enough. That's the lowest moment. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's to get away the dry skin.
To get away the dry skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I bought one of those and last night I was sat here alone scraping off the hard skin from the bottom of my foot thinking this is probably the worst moment in lockdown.
What I want to know is what you've done to get any hard skin on you.
I know, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm operating on the stand-up desk now, aren't I?
Well, you stand on gravel.
Just standing up is just weird. Me and your foot's got to having a mad reaction to it. You got blisters from standing.
Well, formerly, you know, I would have went to the spa, got the whole mani-pedi done. Not having that in lockdown, am I? My beautician can't stay 2 meters away and still get the job done.
Depends how long your toenails are that need cutting. That's been like 9 months now.
Or yeah, but like Paul, what I don't want is like one of those arms, those litter arms that people use with the claw on the end. I don't want that with nail clippers, Paul.
you could get those like the little fish that do it. I think they'll still be fine, won't they? Well, do they transfer COVID?
No, well they do because they've been banned, haven't they, for spreading of diseases?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you know, if I had a personal batch of fish at home, I'd have forever lovely smooth skin.
Go and get a couple of goldfish. See what happens.
Yeah, just can you imagine if I was teaching over Zoom and little did the student know I had my feet submerged in a fish tank? I mean, see you like all the way out,
crumble with a fish food into it in the Zoom tile.
once they finish doing the foot job, you can throw them in the frying pan as well and have them for tea.
But you can't do the foot job, Paul. What am I going to call my manicurist to work? Hello, fellas.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. Oh. That's it. We're finished. Oh. We've completely ran out.
Are you disengaged?
No, I wasn't disengaged.
What was that? Was a very disengaged
Oh, you know what? Because I just feel like I'm doing the heavy lifting of this show. I thought one of you would chip in eventually. Throw in an anecdote about something.
You shut mine and Ryan's conversation down.
I would never do that, Paul. What have you been up to?
We want to turn this into a sport podcast. Yeah, and then we find out it's been cut. But when the episode goes live, you're
like, this is a much shorter episode than I remember recording. Oh, actually, Paul, I did want to ask you. You had the dry January, and you have big plans of coming back. What happened?
I lasted until I think it was the 29th.
Oh, you were Paul.
I know. Whoa. I had a drink watching Everton one night.
Oh, that is ridiculous, Paul.
Oh,
Paul,
you've done well. If it was February, I would have completed it. So,
no,
I looked at it.
I was all for this podcast being a supportive place, but the fact that you've got 29 days in, you had 2 days remaining, I can't abide by that. I'm criticising.
I give up.
Terrible behaviour.
I had quite a good few drinks that day as well.
Oh.
I've kept my running up though. I done 7.5K yesterday and 5K today. And
yeah,
6K
but Paul, you're not going to notice the difference if you guzzling down those beers.
I just think you've made the commitment to dry January and you got so far.
Yeah,
I'm £9. It's better off. I'll have you know, Steve.
It's like, what did you say,
and
Paul?
None of it is. I'm £9 better off, and none of it was foot sore dust either. I had to scrape off.
But what's the what's that in stone? I only know stone really.
Over half a stone.
See that
£2 over. Half
I would
stone.
Say that's impressive.
Isn't there?
It is impressive.
There's £14 in a stone, isn't that right?
Yeah.
So Nearly a stone.
Just over half a stone, yeah. Yeah.
I can see why I'm left to do the heavy lifting in these conversations now. But the thing is, though, Paul, think what that would have been if you didn't have those beers. Empty calories.
I had a lime in my drink, so that was one of my five a day. So probably that day, I probably had about 15 portions of fruit.
No, I just think you're like a religious man who's like abided by all the laws of God through his whole life, like remains, abstinence and everything like that. Yeah. And on the final day before you're about to die, you murder someone.
No, you know what I think it is, Ryan? I think the hacker has released his chastity belt just a couple of hours too early. Before he's met back up with the dominatrix, he's relieved himself. That's what's happened. Anyway, I've actually found myself incredibly busy in the past week since I saw you. You know, busy at home to the point where I've started mapping out my entire day of, like, you know, coffee break here. Lunch.
You love a map, though.
Oh, I love a map.
You love a whiteboard, a to-do list, all that. You're a big believer in all this.
I'm such a huge believer. Yeah. No, I am. But it got to a point where I thought, this is so excessive, I'm bordering your Mark Wahlbergs at this point. You know? I'm allocating 15 minutes to golf.
Yeah, but you're going to bed not at the same time as an infant, are you? Like Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg gets his head down at 6:30.
Yeah, that's a late night for me.
Yeah, but he wakes up at like 3 a.m.
To do like a
2-hour workout and then talk to his kids for 10 minutes before going to his driving range. I always remember with that routine that he put on the internet.
Oh, it was one of my favorite things.
Yeah, there was like 45 minutes that he devoted to like being in like a cryo chamber or something like that, wasn't it?
I'm bringing it up now as we speak.
Do you remember this, Paul?
No, I'm looking for something else. Sorry.
Paul's just looking for a recipe. So yeah, looking here, the cryo chamber recovery portion of his day is between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m.
Well, that was one thing that I two things I noticed about that was that he spent more time in his cryo chamber recovery than he did talking to his kids. And also, the only reason why you mentioned the cryo chamber recovery is to brag that you had a cryo chamber recovery facility.
I mean, if I had a cryo chamber, we dedicate an entire Dodging Death Presents to it.
Well, we could call it like that. We could focus on like the rye part of it, and then it could be a feature name.
Oh, cry. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But then it sounds like where I go once I've realized what I'm doing to my feet.
Yeah, the cryo chamber is what I call my bed. When I'm sad.
At least the ladies do when they come round.
Shall I show you to the cryo chamber? It's where we wallow about death.
And look at my schedule. I've allocated 15 minutes to this. So, you know, have time to spare.
You can go twice.
Since lockdown started, I spent 24 hours a day in the cryo chamber.
Oh, there was a very loud ding there. Did you hear my ding?
I heard your ding.
Oh. Yeah,
you just dinged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor podcast etiquette, though.
No, it was. It was.
My phone is in airplane mode.
I don't believe that for a second.
Oh.
one moment. So I had a brief interlude there, and we paused the recording. But as I stepped away, I could hear Ryan adopt the position of a Gokwan. And as he heckled my ensemble currently.
No, it was me and Paul were just commenting on how you've got like muscle wear on.
Oh, hello, fellas.
Yeah, but you're not allowing me to finish because we expanded to say, but there's no muscle.
It's just wear.
Yeah, you're just displaying a bit of wear.
Oh, I shall be doing the editing of this episode.
Rather than muscle wear, it's more where's the muscle.
Oh, very good that, Paul.
you say very good, but because it's a jibe at you, I can see you're secretly seething.
I'm going to go to my cryo chamber.
Yeah, you're wishing there wasn't some good wordplay there because you know it has to stay in.
And I know it's probably going to be the title of the episode. Forever a reminder.
Yeah, you can't remain ignorant of some clever wordplay.
So listen, I had a communique through today. There was a communique. There was a rasping at the door.
What's a communique?
A letter.
Oh. I thought it was Peter's brother.
What's worse than Ryan having him? What was it? What did you say last week that was completely un-Walton?
I said Leamington instead
Leamington
of Leamington
Spa.
Well, yeah. And then boasted about his salmon Wellington.
I didn't boast about it. I said when I was just, you know, when it got me into trouble.
I remember it as very much a boast.
I have my salmon wrapped in pastry, I'll have you know.
puff. So, so I had a letter through and it was addressed Dear Neighbor. That's all it said at the front.
Oh.
And I thought, there's something going on in the community. I couldn't wait to open this letter.
A neighborhood watch sort of issue.
Yeah. So I have the letter here. I thought I'd read it to you.
Oh, is it the bin? Remember you stole the other neighbor's bin? Is it that?
Oh, no. God, imagine they'd rumbled me because of this podcast. A neighbor was listening to the archives.
Imagine. in court, the episode 70 is like evidence. Play the recording.
The jury gasps, and I go, yeah, I know this looks bad, but skip forward about 5 minutes. I tell a great anecdote.
there's some delicious wordplay later on.
Yeah, it is a jibe at me, but I did have to keep it. So, you know, what could I do? So anyway, this letter came through. Here we go with it. Hello, Aintree.
this is a fantastic letter.
Well, I suddenly realised the start gives away the address pretty much.
That's okay. No one's going to tell.
Oh, I mean, no one. Do you think like a murderer's going to listen and like sort of break in?
Well, I don't know. You know, we've got some avid fans.
Just change it then from where you live. Say a different address.
Well, you know what? It doesn't really give away the number. So as long as you two don't chip in with that information, we're okay.
I actually don't know what number you live at. So I
reckon you must be like number three or...
Oh, Paul, what have I just said?
Paul's alluding to the fact that it's at one of the furthermost ends of the road.
Hello, Aintree Village neighbours. Our neighborhood is now using a free app called Nextdoor, and you should join us.
Ooh.
It's the neighborhood hub for useful information such as local business recommendations, lost pet notifications, safety updates, and much more. It's 100% free and private, just for our neighbors. There are already over 800 posts to Nextdoor, Aintree Village, including posts about safety issues around the neighborhood. That's twice they've mentioned safety. You can download the Nextdoor app here. Sincerely, your neighbor, Ian James Brady. And I thought,
Ian Brady? Ian,
yeah, I thought, this is a letter suggesting the neighbors sign up to find out about safety from Ian Brady.
Oh my God, that's an unfortunate name.
I know.
From one Ted Bundy. Theodore Bundy, your friendly neighbor.
But yeah, so it's essentially a neighborhood watch co-hosted by a mass murderer.
I think this is all a ruse to try and get you involved, and I think it's like a giant Aintree Village version of Grindr.
Well, as you can imagine, I did sign up. And but what I did think as well, he's put his middle name in there to distance Ian from Brady.
Yeah, so if you Googled and you thought, oh, his middle name was Brian.
Does anyone know what his middle name was?
I don't know the notorious murderer's middle name.
I'm going to speak to my smart device. Alexa, what was Ian Brady's middle name?
Ian Brady's middle name is Ian.
Ian?
It's not Ian. No, Ian Brady.
That set him up to become a psychopath, didn't it?
I'd snap at that.
Ian Duncan.
Ian Duncan.
Oh, so Alexa was incorrect.
Alexa
but
was.
But it does say his name was Ian Duncan Stewart.
The verb is usually defined. Alexa? Settle. Stop.
Alexa was trying to defend herself there, wasn't she?
what I meant by that.
No, Alexa, you were incorrect.
So presumably it's not the same Ian Brady, but you would change that name.
Oh, yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. If I share a full name, because obviously I've got my middle name is Joseph, which has some
poor connotations.
Yeah, it's had a pretty rough history, that name. That name. But you know, it's not like if my surname was like Stalin or something like that, I'd change to Joseph. I'd go Ryan Stalin or Ryan Fritzl.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, if you were a doctor with a surname Kevorkian, you'd think I should change that. You know, if your surname is Shipman, you go, okay, let's get to the Depol office. So what I did get the app. Have you heard about this app?
I've never heard of it. It seems incredibly popular. It's at 800 posts.
Like, in the local area. And it's nationwide as well. It's a big old thing.
Yeah, I didn't think...
Is there 800 posts off different people, though, or does Ian Brady just keep posting? Ian
Brady shouting into the abyss. I'm not him. Honestly, we never knew. My mum and dad never heard of them.
Just so we can keep everybody safe, are there any ladies home alone this evening? Just so we can keep an eye out for you.
He's using it for untowards means.
Oh, I think so. Well, I did get the app, and I put in my location, and I thought I'll have a little peruse of the wares. The top one was from, I'll change a couple of the details, but it was from a lady called Jade. And Jade said, "Hey everyone, I live on Stone Ave by these shops. If the ice cream man happens to come by your house and you go out to him, would you mind asking him if he can start going to Stone Ave, please? We've lived here for 2 years now, and because there's only two houses on this street, he's never been. Our kids are dying for some ice cream."
She lives next to Tesco.
There's only two houses on the street as well, but that's not a street.
Some of them barren street is Jade living
just
on.
An empty road. Edward Scissorhands' house at the end of it.
Come here, ice cream man. I want a cornetto.
So that was the top post. The post below that was a lady looking for a reliable plumber, and I just deleted the app. I was like, I don't want to be part of this community. I'm not going out to the icy man, Jade.
Presumably as well, because it's like a sort of small neighborhood. Yeah. He could walk to the end of Stone Ave and sort of corner the ice cream
give
man
him
as
a
well.
Wave.
Yeah. When she hears like the bells of the ice cream truck, sort
you
of
became a Quasimodo there, Ryan.
Well, what is the medley that an ice cream?
Apparently there's one firm. A little tidbit that I don't know why I've never discussed this on the show. There's one firm that
Discover Stee.
So this one couple makes 80% of the international, so the worldwide, little music boxes that go on top of ice cream vans.
Oh
yeah, they've got the monopoly on it. And it's not very profitable.
It's not.
No. So I looked into this. I thought I had the same reaction. Why would it not be profitable? Apparently, they're not that expensive anyway, because really, how much can you charge for one of those?
Yeah, but think of how much. That's a whole profession, though.
Yeah, but you buy it once.
It's like cat's eyes, though, isn't it, on the roads? Cat's eyes sell for like 1 cent per cat's eye.
What is a cat's eye? It's on the road,
on the motorway where
Ryan,
you're driving.
You're a driver?
You drive? Yeah, not very well, clearly.
So I don't know what a cat's eye is.
Drive well. You just need to be able to see. You're talking about a tabby.
Oh, I saw that on Next Door. Actually, someone's missing a black and white cat. Continue, Paul.
Didn't the person who produced or invented cat's eye sell them for like 1 cent per cat's eye? And or like a 1 cent profit per cat's eye?
I know.
And because obviously
they're used so frequently on the road.
Yeah, there's billions of them.
I mean, not frequently enough for Ryan to notice them, but You know, so what they are, right? You know, when you're driving and the little specks of light on the floor, the little dashes of reflective material.
Oh, so
that
yeah.
That create a guide. That's a cat's eye.
Yeah. You know, the white line, and sometimes you'll see white lines on the road. That means you can't, that's a lane, but you have to stay in it. That's just go straight and follow, don't go across.
If there are two yellow ones, you can't park there.
So do you know when the people are walking on that sidewalk and it's like a little raised bump? You can't drive over that, no. It was called a curb. I thought you meant to attack the curb. That was the point.
going back briefly to Jade on Stone Ave, the other issue with it is if the ice cream man said yes, Jade's kind of obliged to buy ice cream every day.
Yeah, it's absolutely teeming down, and the ice cream man, he's made his left turn into Stone Ave. And I'm presuming it's a dead end street if there's only two arms.
Presumably,
there,
yeah.
So it's going to be a nightmare for him to navigate his way back out of it. This is just a bit of a pain. He's got to do his 3-point turn back out of the close. Yeah, so she's got to go out and get like a fab or something.
That's yeah.
It's also February and it's about 2 degrees outside and she's feeding the kids freezing cold lolly ices.
Yeah, but they've been waiting 2 years for that lolly ice pull.
It needs to be a social services referral put in, never mind a referral to the ice cream man.
Yeah, she's that annoyed that there's not quick access to ice cream in January that she talks to this community board on an app for help.
But yeah, would either of you to be interested in signing up for Next Door?
Oh, if it's got content in like that, I'd be very keen to sign up.
I gave the impression that I deleted it much quicker than I did, to be honest with you, because I did scroll. Something else I saw: there's a local lady making nappy hampers.
Nappy hamper?
Well, you know the way at Christmas you get like the chocolate hampers. Filled with sweet treats. This is like talcum powder and some, powdered milk.
Is this like a box of nappies? It's a bit of like, it's not a hamper.
Well, I mean, I saw the picture. It essentially was a box of nappies.
Yeah, a hamper implies a luxury good. I want some artisan cheese.
I mean, probably if you don't change the nappy quick enough, maybe that's what comes out.
Yeah, a different kind of chocolate.
My mum's got a free afternoon tea being delivered off her work tomorrow.
Oh, being delivered?
Oh, yeah, off her boss because of the lockdown stresses. They're getting a free afternoon tea. So it's got like all sorts of old sandwiches on, and then it's got like, I don't know why I'm explaining afternoon tea to you, Ryan.
Can I come round and review it, Paul?
Oh, you can't have afternoon tea on the curb though, Paul. On the doorstep, Ryan with his cucumber sandwiches.
Yeah, and it'd be difficult to sort of feed in the cucumber sandwich through the mask, wouldn't it, as well?
Depending on the time of day, the ice cream man might go by, you can speak to him for Jade.
Yeah, do you know, I might just have a word. Just go, do you know Stony Ave? Do you do the Aintree circuit?
The Aintree run.
That's what's baffled. Back to the previous conversation we were having.
Yeah.
That baffles me that the people who made that sort of music box, they could be so. Because that's a whole profession. There's millions of ice cream men.
Maybe they're just not very good business people. That's what it boils down to. But they have the monopoly.
Yeah, but we could make. I think there's there's a gap in the market there. I think they're clueless. They should be like in the top 10 Forbes rich list. They should be like ninth.
Who should be 10th? Person who invented cat's eyes.
It should be Elon Musk, Bezos, those people who invented the ice cream music box. There's millions of ice cream men. Worldwide, every so the
there's not that many though, because there isn't one on Stone Ave.
No, but there is. There's someone. So mine and Paul's ice cream man, it will be different to Steve's ice cream man, and we live in like neighbouring regions.
Well, I'll tell you this: it's actually, I brought up the article I read. It's actually, they have the monopoly on 97% of the ice cream truck music market.
And how much is it worth?
I'm just looking now. So they built it from scratch at the end of the 1800s when they had little cars.
How old are they?
That's why. They haven't got the internet.
They're still charging a
£3 farthen. Let's see. So they put it together and orders started pouring in from around the country. In around 1960, Nicholas Electronics upgraded the disc-based music box to a wind-up cylindrical one, and it slashed the price of the box from $125 to $80. Okay.
That's still expensive.
Oh, these days, the company only produces 300 to 400 boxes a year.
Oh, why is everyone who's going to move into the ice cream industry already done it?
Well, I already done it. Oh, how many box fresh ice cream vans are being sold? I imagine the second-hand market is huge.
If I wanted to become an ice cream man, how would I go about doing it? I feel like it's like something you inherit off like your dad. If your dad was an ice cream man,
I reckon you can go on eBay and get an ice cream van.
Yeah, but then I don't know. You'd have to.
Surely you've got to have a license. Yeah,
and an area, and you've got to have a distribution of where you're getting your ice cream goods from.
Yeah, but this Costco, presumably. You know, you've got this like whole enigma around the ice cream van community.
I reckon the ice cream van community is an organised community. I don't think you can just rock up in a van, start driving around, selling ice cream to people.
I think you absolutely could. There's one for sale here on eBay. There's 2 hours left for £6,100. We could have an ice cream business by the end of the week.
So six grand just for the truck.
You've got your van and you've got your accoutrement inside. You know the machines and stuff.
No way it comes with all the fridge freezers.
It comes with the fridge freezers
and the materials to make the ice cream and the sort of
the sauces.
Ice cream isn't that involved, Brian?
And the sprinkles.
Hundreds of thousands cost pennies.
If we were to set up an ice cream business, it'd be like Scarface. No, when Tony Montana sets up like the drug path from like Colombia, that's what we'd have to do. We'd have to find the ice cream alternative. We'd have to find like an ice cream distributor.
I think Hannah's ice cream man used to sell drugs. I think it did.
What does did he the drugs in his ice cream van?
So I think people would come up in the street and be like, oh, can I have a cone, please? And he'd give them like a bag of cannabis.
Yeah, but what if you done like what you got confused and you said like it was an ice cream called like a snowy or something like that and he thought that meant cocaine or something? I've came back with an addiction.
No.
Maybe that's what the Stone Ave woman's after.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
Maybe she's missing out on her fix.
So I'm looking here. It comes with a Carpiagani machine. That's your ice cream machine. We're getting into the minutiae. That alone's going to take you back about $3,000.
Buy it, Steve, and we'll just use it for content.
Yeah, if I'm suddenly fucking parading around in an ice cream van.
I'll parade. I don't mind parading as long as you pay.
But you'd also have to find like an area though, wouldn't you? That you'd have to like
What if you'd have to move out another
ice
cream? Do you think we'd have ice cream beef?
There could be.
Yeah, so we'd have to hire some muscle to like beat up the ice cream man.
You just stick to the money, and then
we could then move in on his area. Mm. It's a tricky business to get started.
It's seasonal.
Yeah, but not for Jade. There's people out there who want an ice cream in the depths of winter. I think we could do it.
Well,
we could record the podcast inside the ice cream truck.
Yeah, but I imagine the Caprese machine is quite loud.
In the background. Terrible interference.
And also, we'd be interrupted by druggies knocking on the window all the way through.
No, but we're not going to do the drug dealing part.
No, but how do they differentiate? We are playing the entertainer just as much as the drug dealer vans are.
Yeah, but maybe we put like a sign to make it clear. But
no drugs sold here.
No drugs sold here. Like the way like the building vans have no tools left over. We have one of them, but no drugs here.
Yeah. Our snow cone is just coconut. And nothing else, Your Honor. The more you go into it, Ryan, it'll get worse.
There's so much of an overlap between those two industries that I've never thought about it before.
Well, Thatcher famously was on the board of scientists who invented Mr. Whippy Ice Cream.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm coming out with all the facts today.
I know, yeah. You've done your research.
You could have texted us some of these because I haven't got a Discover Steve related either.
I've got an excellent Discover Steve.
Well, I've got a conspiracy theory as my Discover Steve. Shall we do the feature?
we should brainstorm how we're going to, you know, conquer the ice cream industry off there now.
Probably. Also, actually, this van I'm looking at, it's collection in Manchester.
Local.
Although, having a quick scan of the description, and we should probably have a more thorough scan before we click buy, the bodywork is okay, but it needs touching up in places.
Oh, how much touching up?
How much touching up?
How many places?
A bit of TLC this winter. Get ready for next summer.
I don't trust this.
This is not roadworthy.
That sounds very much like a government slogan at the minute.
It also says on the front, Janet's Ices. Do you think we've got to stay with that title?
We should get Ian Brady involved and get him to change his name. Janet, become Janet Brady. It'll do the world a good. It'll change your life, this ice cream industry.
Right, shall we do the feature?
Yeah.
Only one title for this feature this week.
Is it ice cream based?
No, it's not. I didn't anticipate us talking about it at quite that length.
It is a seasonal podcast after all this, isn't it? We tackle ice cream in the depths of winter.
Is Paul stood up to scratch his ass there? What's going on?
I've got the most uncomfortable office chair, or it's not even an office chair. It's literally just a chair in the world. And I've had to put like 6 cushions on it. I put my cushions sometimes slip down to readjust my sitting position so I don't have to scratch my ass. Really.
Okay, well, this feature is one I can't remember if we've done something along these lines before, to be completely honest with you, because the time... Right. Go on.
That indicates that I have zero faith that this is good, that you're going to be incorrect with that. You are definitely going to reach for an old idea that you've already done. You've probably done it multiple times. It's probably going to be Rana Ross, or it's going to be... ASMR again or something like that. The Ryan Sleeps Tonight. It's going to be one of those ones that you've definitely done and you couldn't think of a new idea. No. So you went to the old drafts and thought, maybe I haven't done this one, but you will have done.
Enough time has passed.
especially when 10 minutes before the show, he messaged the WhatsApp group saying, is it my turn to do the feature today?
Yeah, it's going to be bungee cord again or something like that, isn't it?
Well, the title of this one came to me in like a eureka moment. So that could just mean because it was more of a memory than a eureka moment.
Yeah, you were listening back to an old episode. You thought it was your inner monologue. It was just you.
Well, this one is all about the famous author Roald Dahl, and it's called The BFG.
Yeah, we have done it.
Have we done it?
Yeah, I think we have.
Oh, do you know what? I actually don't remember this, but, you know, we have done that many now that I could have also forgot.
I think we have.
Yeah. That could be the first question of the feature. Have we done this before? I don't think we have before this.
Well, yeah, the questions were box fresh because I, of course, searched Roald Dahl fun facts on Google. So I didn't remember them, but that's not... to say we haven't.
Roald Dahl had an incredible life.
Oh, like, do you know a good amount about Roald Dahl?
I have a bit of Roald Dahl knowledge. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Stop talking then, Ryan, because...
I was a fan in my youth, but yeah, but normally this what happens is I know the person Paul doesn't, and Paul fucking kicks my ass in the quiz anyway.
So he was a very famous children's book author, Paul.
I know who Roald Dahl was. Jesus Christ. He wrote Harry Potter.
All right, here we go with round one. too tense for a Roald Dahl trivia, that.
Yeah, but it's too tense for all of our features, though. It's very light content.
No, I know. But we are not changing it because I've bought the desk at this point. Okay, so round one. James and the Giant Peach was nearly called something else. My question to you, what was it? Was it A, James and the Giant Pear? Was it B, James and the Giant Cherry? Or was it C, brace yourselves, James and the Giant Aubergine?
Now we know why that round was in there.
Yeah. There'd be good, some good subtext to analyse if it was James and a Giant Aubergine, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, which I'm sure a criminal analyst would go into.
Oh, I've never read James and a Giant Peach.
Have you seen the film, maybe?
A clip of the film, so I'm aware of the subject.
Okay.
But I'm not...
Alone probably should have made you aware of the subject.
No, but isn't there a big part of it, though, where there's, like, the peaches rolling? Doesn't he live on the peach and the peach rolls?
I think you're confusing this with Indiana Jones. James with the cowboy hat on and a whip.
Yeah. James didn't like snakes, did he? He was very afraid of snakes. He had no time for snakes, James. So, based on my thought about the rolling nature of the peach being important to the story,
yeah,
which it could well be incredibly untrue, I now don't know what the plot of the book is. I'm gonna go with cherry, because I don't think a pear could roll quite as well due to its unusual shape.
Yeah, Paul,
I'll go pear. Because Ryan
Were you thinking pear anyway, Paul? Or
I was thinking pear, yeah, because I was thinking pear and peach. It's alliteration. I think it might have just took a slight tweak to the name, but I don't think it took massive tweaks to get it right.
So you both are firmly away from the aubergine, and right,
yeah, the aubergine was a gag from the quizmaster.
Was a gag, so rightly so. I can confirm. The actual title of the book was originally supposed to be James and the Giant Cherry.
Yes.
Ryan, you get the point.
Yes. I hate when he gets it right when there's logic behind it.
Read the book or seen the film?
I haven't, no. But I do have a quote from Dahl himself.
Oh.
Yeah, which may back up what you're about to say. It was changed from a cherry to a peach because Dahl said the peach was prettier, bigger, and squishier than a cherry. Nothing to do with it rolling.
Now I'm thinking, is there a part where they're like in water? And I suppose we shouldn't speculate on what the plot of James and the Giant Peach is.
You keep rewriting this book.
Yeah, an incredibly well-known children's book that I'm sure we're being cursed over for not knowing the plot of in a Roald Dahl themed quiz.
Right, well, let's do round two. The author, Roald Dahl, had other jobs. You know, it's a tough business, the writing. So he had other jobs. Which one of these jobs did he not have? Is it A, a pilot? Is it B, a royal gardener? Or is it C, a spy?
Oh, where was Roald Dahl from? Is he English?
He was, yes.
I'm going to go...
You go first.
Me, because you went first last time. Keep up with the format of the game, Ryan.
Oh no!
If you want to put your thought process across first, that's absolutely fine.
No, because I don't know, because I got it correct whether I go first, but you know, you go first. It's fine.
When were Roald Dahl's books out? What year?
Paul, this is too much information. I can't give you this. I can tell you, he was born in Cardiff and he died in Oxford.
You are welcome. He was born in Cardiff. The Welsh aren't really keen on the royals, so I'm going to say he wasn't a royal gardener.
Okay. The other options, you had pilot and a spy.
It's quite annoying because that Paul's gone first because I'm pretty convinced that Paul is now correct because he was a pilot in the war, so he was both a pilot and a spy, which means that this is now all redundant, isn't it? Just all
I mean, you are continuing to say words, right? Yeah. But
words are coming out, but it's all meaningless. This rolls our light, rolls our features, turns to an existential crisis.
So what are you thinking?
Well, my thinking is that he was definitely a pilot in the war, so he was both a pilot and a spy. So I'm pretty convinced he wasn't a royal gardener.
Okay.
But you know, in the interest of the, I've got to go for something else, haven't I?
Do you have to go for something else?
Paul's taking it off the table, so I'm gonna maybe say that he wasn't a spy, just in case, whether it, because I know he was a pilot.
A pilot, Ryan? You haven't said.
He's a pilot.
Okay.
No, but none of his books addressed his love of aviation, though, did they?
Maybe they did. I don't know.
Maybe Willy Wonka, though, was sort of like, if you read into it, maybe he had some like PTSD from following like the war or something like that, which what led him to, it's what led him into the chocolate industry to cheat himself up.
Doesn't Willy Wonka
the Oompa were all hallucinations from his...
Oh, maybe.
Doesn't Willy Wonka have a flying machine as well at the end when he...
Oh, he does. He has a flying glass elevator.
He does.
Oh, yeah, but yeah. It's an elevator, though, isn't it? So it's sort of, you know, it's connected.
He flew over to Russia.
Drop 3 bars of chocolate on them and come back.
What are you doing, Wonka? We're again, these are our enemies.
Okay, so Ryan, you're saying a spy.
I'm saying a spy.
Okay, and Paul, you've gone for a royal gardener. I can confirm, Paul, you are correct. He was not a royal gardener. He was a pilot and a spy. So let's go with round 3. I wanted to move on quickly there because Ryan would have continued to tell us about how he knew he was a pilot.
he just loved flying, but he didn't put it in his books, which is just interesting.
Round 3. We all know he wrote his books in the shed at the end of the garden, but what writing instrument did he use?
I didn't know that he wrote his book in the shed.
No, he
didn't. You?
No.
As if you would have known before.
Oh, I would have absolutely known that.
You would not
what,
have.
Roald Dahl's shed.
Roald Dahl's shed is incredibly famous.
Wait, it's not.
It is. It absolutely
it's like a tourist attraction. You can go and visit Roald Dahl's shed.
I don't think you can go and visit it, but...
move the shovels and there's space. And oh, that's where Roll used to sit in his shed.
No, like I thought the idea that he wrote in his shed was unbelievably famous. I mean, I knew it.
I didn't know.
Okay, well,
it might just be a Roald Dahl blindside. Like I have mainly focused on the fact that he was a pilot, so that's what's occupied most of my brain. I mean,
Ryan was suggesting he wrote all of his books in the cockpit.
talented man.
Right, they didn't even have autopilot back then, fellas. So, what did he use to write the books? Was it a typewriter? Was it B, a pencil? Or was it C, a manslave he dictated aloud to?
He called him his Oompa Loompa.
You can go first this one, Ryan.
What was B?
B was a pencil.
Typewriter, pencil, or manslave?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a fan of advancement in technology, wasn't he, Roald? Because, you know, with the glass elevator, you know, he had a fascination with planes.
No, he did.
loved planes. Really loved them. In fact, he learned how to fly a plane. So I'm gonna go typewriter. I reckon.
Typewriter.
I reckon Roel was really, really into new technology. He was a gadgety man.
Okay.
He didn't write Inspector Gadget though.
Okay, Paul, what is your guess?
I think Ryan's
just happy to be talking to people.
I'll have to go for A then, a pencil.
A pencil. Well, okay.
What would the pencil be?
A was a typewriter, B was a pencil.
Okay, I'll go B, a pencil.
Okay, you don't think he dictated aloud?
Not to a man
slave. I don't
think
he dictated aloud to a man slave.
Okay. If I hadn't have mentioned the man slave, would that have potentially been a better option?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact because that he might not have been able to spell, so.
Ah.
Well. Yeah, the fantastic Mr. Fox would have been censored. How do you spell Fox again? Not with a U, Roel, not with a U.
Okay, well, it was not, you are correct, it was not the manslave. It was a pencil he used.
Yay!
Oh. Yes.
The man's so inconsistent.
Well, no, because he was in a wooden shed. He had the wooden writing instrument.
I know, yeah, but he loved his planes. He was fascinated with technology.
Well, what's the score now? Is it 2-1 to...
2-1 to me.
2-1 to Paul. Well, you can bring it back in the bonus round, but I've had a little idea to mix up the bonus round.
I like it already.
Josh, who used to be on the show much more before lockdown, he writes. This features about an author. I thought we can give Josh a little buzz for the bonus round.
Oh,
give him an opportunity to steal those points. And be part of it.
I like this. We're using your new technology. You're embodying your inner role, Sam.
So I've thought about that. I've not messaged Josh to see whether he's available. So he may not be. But let's give him an opportunity to get up on the board. Should we give him a call?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Now I really do feel like I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I've not tested this, so I assume he can hear us, but I don't know. Josh!
Hello?
Yes,
Chris Tarrant here, Josh.
Can you hear me?
Chris Tarrant here. Don't put that bastard's name to me.
Oh, yeah, Paul.
He's why? Only...
Well, Chris Tarrant resulted in the divorce.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard that story.
Oh, this is the first time he's been on the show in God knows how long. The divorce has already been mentioned.
I've got to mention it. And exactly 43 seconds it took me to get it in.
Josh, your audio sounds terrible. Can you not put the phone to your ear? Where are you?
Sorry, I'm on the computer at the minute. I'm fine for 1 second. I'll put the phone to my ear.
Okay. I really should have phoned him ahead of time to arrange this properly.
I am now on telephone.
Okay, you're not on loudspeaker, are you? Is this not because we're going to say something offensive? I just think it'll be better quality.
Yes, don't worry.
Well, hello, Josh. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you all?
Good. You're on the show, so there's no real time for small talk. But I've upgraded to a new mixing desk that allows phone calls, and I thought, you know what? Let's bring Josh in. Yes.
So you're currently calling me via the mixing desk.
Via the mixing desk. Everybody else is on Zoom. I say everybody else. Those two are on Zoom.
This is incredible. You must feel like Joe Wiley.
Like who? Like did you say Joe Rogan?
No, Joe
Wiley off the radio. Joe Wiley is.
Joe Riley.
The radio DJ. Wiley.
Oh, Wiley.
Bloody hell.
Like the coyote, Steve. Wiley
yeah,
Coyote.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, Josh.
Wiley Coyote.
I know Wiley Coyote. Josh.
Yeah, but Joe Wiley.
Okay, yeah, no, I know formerly Radio 1 presenter. Who's moved on.
So, which is why I feel like I'm trying to explain Josh's reference.
No, I get it. Steve Wright would have been probably the ideal reference there.
Steve Wright would have been a better one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. So, Josh.
I'm going on now, though. You've called the man. We brought him to divorce.
Josh, I'm going to tell you what's happening. We're doing a feature called the BFG.
Right.
I was really looking for a laugh in response to that, but...
Well, I don't know what, like... What...
So it's Roald Dahl trivia.
Right.
Okay. And, the fellows have done well. Paul has got 2 points. Ryan, he has 1 point. We've hit the bonus round.
Is this actually a phone a friend? Is this actually a phone a friend that you're doing now?
Well, it's teetering around a phone a friend because we've come upon the bonus round, which means, of course, that all the point can be stolen. So I thought we'd phone you.
The opportunity.
We give you the opportunity to get on the an extra point, and it's a feature about a writer. That's why I thought you were perfect.
I appreciate it. The thought is always appreciated.
Oh yeah. So are we ready for the bonus round?
And also,
oh, go on.
He was also born in Wales.
Oh right, Paul. Josh would have been good at this game.
Yeah, did you know he was a pilot, Josh? He loved flying.
And a spy.
I did not know that, no.
Well, there you go. And you know what? If you listen to this week's Dodging Death, you'll find out lots more facts.
I can't wait.
Like
also,
there.
I've actually got a bone to pick with you, Stephen, because you said on the previous episode
that
I don't listen to it anymore. I'm an avid listener. I'll
I assume since you didn't have a mic and were no longer, you know, a regular feature, that you'd have stopped.
I'm a loyal patron of the...
I mean, not in the financial sense, of course. Let's go for the bonus round.
I love it.
You know what? What a lovely random phone. No one phones me with this kind of excitement.
Honestly, God, I'm practically erect right now at the sound of that.
Oh, it's a shame we haven't got you on the Zoom title, so we can say it. That'd be some good Patreon content. It'd be the start of our movement into OnlyFans.
You could fly a flag at half mast in memory of some of this bad boy.
If it's half mast, Josh, you can get tablets for that now, so don't worry about that. Right, so... There's two potentials for the bonus round. And I'll tell you why, because the reason is the first number that I got was a little bit too on the nose. So I'm doubting it. Potentially we're going to have two questions. So, bonus round. Roald Dahl famously invented new words and character names. My question to you fellas, how many did he invent?
How many words did he invent?
How many words and character names did he invent?
I think Ryan should have to go first, as he was last, and Josh is the guest.
Oh, yes, agreed. Oh.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
So, yes, Ryan, you can go first.
Well, I'm thinking, no, he invented loads of character names, but he... One of his books is called James. Not invented James, has he? Another one, Billy the Champion or something. He's not invented Billy. He's not invented...
No, but...
But the main character in... Maybe Wonka was an invention, but the other character is called Buddy Charlie. He's not the most imaginative fella in the world, is he?
Well, okay, maybe he wasn't, and there's four. It's up to you.
I'm gonna go.
That's why we asked you to go first.
I just had to think what other like invented words. There's one that's called like SEO trot or something. I reckon he's probably invented SEO.
Okay.
Ryan, we can't have time to count every single word.
No, I know. He's gonna mention his pilot's license again. So, okay, go on.
I'm gonna go. Random, I'm gonna go.
35 words. Paul, how many are you thinking?
I will go 140.
140 words. And Josh?
I think it's more. Because I reckon... Like,
I know it's been a while since you've been on, Josh, but you do need to give a number.
No, I'm thinking all of the other two had a fucking opportunity to think. Can I maybe also...
And this is why he doesn't come on very often.
I reckon he's done more than that. Because he wrote a shit ton of books, didn't he? I don't know how many books exactly. I reckon he's probably done... I'm going to say... 530.
Well, to touch on what you've just said there, Josh, I put in how many books has Roald Dahl penned? And it says on Google at least 36.
I reckon
it's weird they didn't just give a precise number.
I reckon he's invented at least 10, at least 12 words a book.
Okay.
So I reckon, about that much.
But what did you say? Was it 530, did you say?
That's what I think. I reckon it's over, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm either way off. Yeah, 530, I'll do that one.
I probably massively undershot it because that means, based on my guess, there was one book where he didn't invent a new word in it. So, he done one a book and that was it.
Well, Josh, you've gone well above the other two. Was it the correct move? Roald Dahl invented 500 new words and character names.
What?
500.
I thought well off.
You know, for example, Oompa Loompa, Gremlin,
of course,
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Is Oompa Loompa two words?
Oh, I think because that would be character name, that's just one. Yeah.
Oh, but I thought isn't there a dash in between Oompa and Loompa? It's a hyphenated, it's a hybrid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not according to QZ.com.
I was focusing it on his protagonists and how they're very bland names.
Because you just kept it banging on about James.
James and Charlie.
James and Charlie, yeah. Okay, so...
James, Charlie and Billy, though.
Does that mean that Josh gets the point?
It does.
I think it does.
Yeah,
Josh
absolutely... Josh was by far the closest.
Oh, yeah. Well, shall I go for my second question anyway, since Josh is on the phone?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I mean, it's written on Josh.
It's been a long time since I've had this sort of human contact. Keep me off.
It's a point for each question, so Josh has got the first point, and whoever gets this right...
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Well, here we go.
Yeah, okay.
With
stakes to him.
With the bonus round...
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, it is. I feel like I'm about to deliver some breaking news.
Yeah, that was a bit like a Swords and Sandals epic or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I feel we're about to break into an I Am Spartacus sort of routine or something.
Paul's eyes did light up at it.
Yeah, it reminded all of Troy.
Right, okay, so... My question in this bonus round. How tall was Roald Dahl?
Oh,
that's hard. That is hard.
Josh, did you know, I thought it was common knowledge, that Roald Dahl wrote in his shed?
Yeah, that is common knowledge.
It's common knowledge, yeah.
I thought it was like a well-known thing.
Yeah.
Like one of his little like idiosyncrasies that it was his little shed.
Agreed. Twit and twat over here. Didn't have a clue.
I don't have a clue. I thought he might,
dip to the words he invented as well.
Did he write the twits?
No. Yeah, he did.
He wrote the twits, yeah. From his shed.
From his shed with his pencil. I will say Roald Dahl was 5'1".
5'1".
5'1"? A real life Oompa Loompa.
I think he was a little man.
I'm going to say taller, and I'll tell you for why. Oh, God.
When there's a reason behind it, there's always logic, and my answers always end up wrong. I hate when there's reason. Go on.
Because...
Go on.
His daughter is Sophie Dahl. Sophie Dahl is really tall. She's like... Didn't she go out with Jamie Cullum, and they're like a little and large couple? So I'm going to say...
Why is Jamie Cullum small?
I don't...
Tiny man.
Is
yeah, he's
he?
A tiny man. Yeah, he could potentially be an Oompa Loompa. Maybe that's who he's watching for.
No, I thought Jamie Cullum was with Lily Allen.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, God. What has this podcast turned into?
Yeah, Lily,
Jesus Christ.
It's like a showbiz dating podcast.
I'm telling
Lily
you.
Lily Allen goes out with...
the guy
from
Stranger Things.
Which
one? He goes out with Hopper from Stranger Things.
The one with the beard.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
The dad.
Like the main. The...
Yeah.
No. The policeman? Yeah. The sheriff.
Yeah, the sheriff.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Lily Allen goes out with him.
I'm surprised at that. Very surprised.
It would be good if Jamie Cullum was in charge of Chocolate Factory, because he'd be a good Oompa Loompa, because he'd put a jaggy little beat on the songs, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would. He'd be like, yo, boo boo.
Yeah, like walking on his piano and that, like, that'd be good.
No, I always want to like Jamie Cullum. I find him a bit too self-indulgent.
I think he's
all right. Yeah,
similar personalities often clash. Those don't.
So go on, Josh, what's your guess?
I'm gonna say 5'9".
5'9". Oh. And Ryan,
see, I've seen a picture of Roald Dahl, and he just looks like an average sized man, so I don't think he's gonna, and if he's working in a shed, he's not gonna be too big, is he? Because it'd be like, you know, Gandalf going into a hobbit house, wouldn't it, all the time? If he's in a shed, he's probably not above 6 foot. I'm gonna go. What did Josh go for?
Josh went for 5'9".
I'm gonna go one below. I'm gonna go 5'8". I reckon 5'8" is the exact average height.
We said we're doing the one below.
No, I'm not doing it for that. I think he's exactly 5'8".
I'm not doing it for 5'8"
is the exact average height of a man, and I think Roald Dahl is exactly average height.
I think about 5'7" is the right height for a man.
I don't think Steve would have asked this question though if he was the average height. I feel like he's either. To ask this question, he's either extremely tall or extremely small.
Well, that is an excellent point.
No, but that is so true.
Oh no, that is so true. He's gonna be an absolute mammoth, man, isn't he? He's gonna be as big as James and a giant peach.
So
yeah, James and a giant peach is about Roald Dahl.
Could actually be a really small person, though. I mean, if he's like born to like a miner or something, miners were like really, really small.
Traditionally,
I thought you meant
like his mum
as well. A young child.
Yeah.
they're also traditionally very small as well.
Okay, we've locked in our answers, so do you want to know?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm gonna be furious when he's a Herculean man.
Well, I do need to tell you, Ryan, that to say I proposed this question and he was bang average was ridiculous. Such a stupid idea. You know, it's like, oh yeah, and his shoe size is a 7. Good night, everyone.
Oh god.
So it is one way or the other. And Roald Dahl was 6'6".
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Josh has won again.
Cramming that meaty flesh into his shit all day.
Jesus.
He must have had terrible back trouble.
He didn't have a stand-up shit.
He might have had a big shit.
I don't know.
Oh, Ryan's connection has gone terrible here. Shall I
cut him out of conversation?
Josh leapt on that opportunity there.
I'm here now.
I'm a Bach.
Yeah, you appear to be
I'm
back.
I'm a Bach.
Yeah. Yes, you're back, Ryan.
Oh, okay. I was sort of thinking as well, at 6'6", the man was flying his planes as well.
Oh,
sort of cramming to those small fighter pilots in the cockpit.
He was a pilot, Ryan.
He definitely would have had some back or knee trouble or something. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Mind you, all the illustrations in his book, I know that there was Quentin Blake, wasn't it, who did it, but they were all like really lanky. Like characters, weren't they? So maybe they're based on.
Also, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I feel like I have to because no one else mentioned it. The big friendly giant, the BFG. I teased this with the title.
Yeah, he looks a bit like the BFG.
I can see it.
That's not a very.
Yeah, the
BFG had a big old nose, didn't he? From my memory.
Yes.
Yeah, big ears too.
Yeah.
Big ears.
When I'll just heckle the BFG.
He was an elephant.
Well, Josh, yeah.
Lovely fella, though. Lovely man. He put the F in VFG, didn't he?
Astonishingly, Josh, you and now have 5 points on the leaderboard, just one behind me. I've got 6.
Right, you can do another phone call in about 6 months' time, near Christmas, and I'll steadily climb up the leaderboard again.
Josh, I'm telling you now, if we're still having to do these podcasts over Zoom by Christmas, there will be no Paul left the podcast. You'll have to come and take my space, because there's no way I'm being crammed up in this bloody box room till Christmas.
You're close to the edge.
I've crossed the edge.
If you could see his Zoom tile here, Josh, he's got shit smeared all over the wall.
He's like Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
He's got the butter and everything now. Come at me, Hannah.
Was Charles Bronson the one who used to dress as a clown?
Yeah, he was like he was like really like the bold guy with like the kind of mime act style moustache.
Yeah.
I don't know if he dressed up as a clown.
One of the serial killers was an amateur clown.
Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't a clown. He wasn't a serial killer either. Charles Bronson.
All right, you jumped to his defense quite quickly there, Ryan.
I was one of the death row, the ones who married him.
Yeah.
He married someone. But he went into jail for something very, like a proper menial thing, and then has just kept on getting in trouble in prison because he wants to stay in jail since. He robbed the post office or something like that.
Oh, really?
That small.
I thought he was, like, Britain's most notorious prisoner. Like, you know,
no, I think it's because he always does stuff in jail to stay in jail. Like, he gets in loads of fights and stuff like that. He might have done a lot more, but I think when he was on, the actual thing that got him in jail was something, like, incredibly minor, considering, like, his notoriety as a criminal.
It was John Wayne Gacy. He was the clown.
Yeah, he was. John Wayne Gacy was the clown. Horrible.
It's taking a bit of a turn, this episode.
I know. Earlier, Josh, we had Ian Brady chat as well, so it became very...
Anyway, Josh, it's been lovely to see you.
I'm now just in a rabbit hole looking at Charles Bronson's Wikipedia page.
So, Josh, you've got 2 points, and what a lovely way to spend your Thursday evening.
I know, it's absolutely lovely. Just before I go, I've got one little tidbit of more Charles Bronson news.
This will be your discovery.
Yeah. You know what, Josh, just stay in the line.
Discover Steve.
Okay, go ahead, Josh.
Charles Bronson, who's 65, is divorcing his wife, who is 37. They've only been together for 8 months after snaps emerged of a man with his breast, of his head, in her breast in Tenerife. Unbelievable.
Oh,
there you
no.
Are.
Oh,
you can't go doing the dirty to Charles.
I wish I could send the photo I'm looking at of you over to you all. I'm going to see if I can send it via WhatsApp on the group and see if you can all see it.
Well, if it's appropriate, we'll put it on the Instagram page.
Put it on the Instagram.
Yeah, we got our account reporters. For some Charles Bronson-related porn.
Josh, I'm going to let you go. It's been a pleasure.
Lovely to hear from you all as well.
Speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon, Josh.
That was a lovely little interlude, that. Let's continue with the Discover Tea. Ryan, you'd said you've got a good one for us today.
I've got a good one. Right. So I discovered, if you feed a duck's bread.
Yeah.
That was sort of like an activity you used to do as a kid, wasn't it? You'd give bread to the duck.
Yeah.
That is apparently really, really bad for them. And it results in ducks getting angel wing and dying. So that has just completely reframed like loads of events in my childhood where I thought like I was like going with dad and granddad feeding the ducks, like this proper like wholesome childhood memory, and now that's recontextualized it, and now me nan and granddad used to go murder ducks on like a Sunday afternoon by giving them bread.
Oh, worse than Branson himself.
That can't be true, that, because there would be thousands of ducks dead in every park though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, oh, that's it. You know what? You never see a dead duck.
Yeah.
It's because you've got to dispose of them well. No, you should feed them oats.
Okay.
I will be sticking to bread.
No, honestly,
I'll
bread,
take my chances.
Bread is terrible for ducks. It gives them angel wing. I think it's called angel wing. And yeah, it causes them to... They shouldn't have bread in their diet.
Okay, and so I've just searched feeding ducks bread. And bbc.co.uk, bread isn't harmful. Although ducks and swans can digest all types of bread, too much can leave them feeling full without giving them important vitamins. So, although bread isn't harmful, our advice is to only feed small amounts to them.
Oh, there was this leaflet in Walton Park, and it was saying, it was like, remember like the piracy adverts before a DVD? It was like, the pirates are out to get you sort of thing. It was that level of drama and theatre, and it was like a picture of like a dead duck, and it was like, don't feed them bread, because then it was explaining that this condition's called like angel wing or something like that, and that's what happens when you give them bread.
Thing is, though, when a duck gets angel wing, you also get crispy duck then not long after it, so.
I'll see you in Walton Park over a hoisin sauce next time.
A few pancakes.
Yeah, the RSVPA, RSPB.
RSVPA, isn't that what you're sending back to someone's invitation?
No, RSVPA, what's that?
RSPCA.
It's the RSPCA. That's the Royal Society for the Protection. I don't know what it's.
RSPCA is the Royal Protection.
It's the animal one, that.
Royal Society for the Protection against the cruelty of animals.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not them. The RSPB, I don't know who they are. They've given
it'll be for the preservation of birds, I reckon.
The Royal Society of Correction of Bullshit.
Oh, no, right you are, Ryan. The Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, they said, yeah, it's because it's not a natural food for them. I mean, it's fine, but really only give it to them in small quantities.
Oh.
Yeah. I've got to just go with Steve without using the book.
Okay.
Is it good enough to end on? Because mine probably isn't.
Oh, God, no, not really.
Well, mine was incorrect, so we started.
I'll go with mine. So now that Donald Trump has left the White House, he's living now in Mar-a-Lago, which is a Florida-based residence. But in Florida, they have a ban on helicopters, which they lifted for Donald while he was president. So not only now is he no longer president or lives at the White House, he's also had to have his helicopter pad ripped up in his... in his house.
Oh,
and he can no longer
God.
Oh.
Because he's now banned again from flying in a helicopter in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Didn't you go for your helicopter lessons in Florida, Steve?
I did, yeah. My helicopter lessons were in Florida with, what was the instructor's name? You'll remember. Brett.
It was Brendan, wasn't
it? No, it was Brandon. Brett, wasn't it?
You'll probably know more than me because I wasn't there.
Yeah, and I lived in a house with a 21-year-old Hungarian called Christoph. No? Okay, well, my little Discover Steve, not a fact, but it is something I discovered. Do you know the Easter Island heads?
Yes.
Well, yes. Apparently, where they're positioned on Earth, if you were to cut right through the Earth downward, you'd end up at Stonehenge. And there's there's a conspiracy theory that the bodies continue through the earth, and we see the little toes popping up in Stonehenge.
Jesus Christ, that is a terrible conspiracy theory.
The Easter Island heads would be very, very warm, wouldn't it? Because the climate that they're in. Whereabouts in the world are they?
Let's see.
Yeah, because I say that because you've been.
Yeah.
I thought you'd have that in hand.
Oh, Ryan, you know I've got no knowledge of geography. Okay. So
sorry, Palm Beach, you're not allowed helicopters in Palm Beach, which is in Florida.
Yeah, so it was West Palm Beach when I studied to be a helicopter pilot.
Oh, for God's sake. Is West Palm Beach different than Palm Beach? I feel like my fact is right because I'm reading it. Maybe it's changed since you've done your helicopter lessons.
I didn't question it. I didn't question it. I was just saying that's Steve done his helicopter Florida.
So if you imagine you're in Chile, Ryan, you're looking at the map and you can see Chile.
Yes.
And then go left from Chile for quite some time. You end up on Easter Island. It's kind of, it's a lone wolf of an island.
Oh, yeah. You know, I should have realised that the Easter Island heads were located on Easter Island, really, shouldn't I? So my point was going to be that the head is in a very warm climate. So imagine that, like, the body then is, like, in the earth. Then if the toes are Stonehenge, it'd be freezing, wouldn't it? It'd be a nightmare sleep, that.
Well, it's kind of like if you're in the bathtub and you pop your toe up into the faucet.
Yeah,
and, like, there's a cold drip that comes out.
That's what the Easter Island, based on that conspiracy theory, the Easter Island people are doing that just permanently. It's like torture.
Why didn't we bend at the knees?
Yeah, they had the growth space and we like, oh, I can't fit now.
Okay. Well, what a lovely varied episode this has been.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah, this is a hairy sigh from you, Paul.
It's past my half an hour past my bedtime. Oh. It's 8:20 now.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up. Paul, what's the Instagram?
At Dodging Death Podcast.
You can subscribe on Patreon. I had Rick record new on Patreon, and we haven't used it at all because no one else has subscribed. But if people want to, how can they do that, Ryan?
You can go to patreon.com/ Dodging Death Podcast.
And you can send us an email with anything to dodgingdeathpodcast@gmail.com. Cheers, fellas. I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Leave Dodging Death a 5-star review on iTunes.